The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Hello and welcome to this online service, the second Sunday in Lent. Wherever you're watching from or tuning in, we are so glad that you're with us and able to worship. As we light the Christ candle, let's take a few moments to let our hearts and minds prepare to meet God in worship. Let's join together in prayer. Son of God, Son of Man, as we seek you today, we commit to follow you. Lead us, Lord. You have come to show us how to put the expectations and temptations of the world behind us to follow you. Lead us, Lord. On the cross at Calvary, you gave your life up for love, love of all humankind, love for us. Help us to be more like you, embracing self-sacrifice with humility. Lead us, Lord, and show us that following you is the only way to become fully who we were created to be, your children of grace. Amen.
Please join me in saying together our prayer of confession. God, we humbly confess we want to be followers of Jesus, but we do not always want to follow Jesus. We don't even want to listen when the conversation turns toward darkness and death. We prefer to indulge ourselves. We are eager to put down our crosses. We cling tightly to our lives and grasp at worldly rewards. Holy and loving God, forgive all of our thoughts and actions that would protect us from the path of Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Friends, on the journey of Lent, we seek a spirit of discernment and wisdom. On the journey of Lent, we move towards a relationship with God. Follow Jesus and know new life. Seek the Spirit and know new insight. Move towards God and know grace. Friends, in Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Thanks be to God. And God's people say, Amen. Our scripture reading for today is from Mark's Gospel, chapter 8. Verses 31 through 38. Then he began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He said all this quite openly, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and looking at his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." He called the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. For what will it profit them to gain the whole world and forfeit their life? Indeed, what can they give in return for their life? Those who are ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of them the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in glory the glory of his Father with the holy angels. This is the word of God. Like many churches, we often use a schedule of readings called the Revised Common Lectionary to guide our selection of scripture passages for our Sunday services. Now, I know that most of you probably don't do this, but it can be really interesting to track the flow of those readings from week to week. If you look back to the beginning of our season of Epiphany this year, those weeks that come right after Christmas, you'll see that for many of those, we were making our way through the beginning of Mark's Gospel. But with the conclusion of Epiphany and our move into this new season of Lent last week, that has changed. And now we find ourselves bopping around a bit. You'll remember last week we were in Mark 1, but this week our readings from Mark 8. And next week we won't even be in Mark anymore, we'll be in John's Gospel. Well, with this change in approach, we also find a change in focus. While we were experiencing the flow of the beginning of Jesus' ministry in January and February, now in Lent, we've moved away from watching how his ministry progressed over time to exploring it more thematically. Last week, we started with a rather cosmic perspective. We remembered that all of Jesus' life and ministry, and in fact all of God's mission of bringing his kingdom, happen within the larger story of a struggle between the forces of good and evil, between God and between those things that oppose God and God's good purposes in our world. Today, we've moved from that rather wide-angle view we had last week to focus in on what I believe is the pivotal moment in that battle. This week, we are invited to meditate on the centrality of the cross and on the way of the cross in our own faith. Well, our reading today actually starts at verse 31, but before we get there, I think we are wise to remember that something very important happened right before this. It's a hinge point in Mark's whole story of Jesus' life. You'll remember that Jesus had been talking with his disciples, and they were reporting to him what people on the streets were saying about who he was. Well, he does that thing that Jesus does, and he kind of took that and then turned it and made it personal for them. He looked at Peter and the other disciples and he said, "But who do you say I am?" Well, of course, as we likely remember, in his classic jump first and then ask questions later kind of manner, Peter replied right away with what I can imagine must have been great conviction. He says to Jesus, "You are the Messiah." That must have been a great moment. They'd finally gotten it. They really believed that he was the Messiah, the one God had sent, the one through whom God was going to win that cosmic battle. And so, with that very important thing nailed down, Jesus moved on to begin to teach them how he was going to bring about this rescue they'd been longing for. Well, that's actually what our reading today is all about. Jesus tells them that he is going to suffer and be rejected and even be killed. And then he says he will rise again 3 days later. As Mark says, he spoke plainly. There were no minced words, there was no nuanced meaning, and obviously they were shocked. Peter rebuked Jesus. They probably all thought that Jesus was a bit mad. Well, as we know, he reacted strongly. He rebuked Peter himself and warned him that he was focused on the wrong things, that he had a human perspective instead of God's perspective. Then, calling everyone there, the crowds, to listen, Jesus went on to explain that anyone who wanted to follow him must also be prepared to suffer for the sake of his mission. He explained that doing that is the way that they would find the freedom and the life everyone had been waiting for. Freedom that would come through that rescue the Messiah had been promised to bring. In short, Jesus was calling them to follow him in the way of the cross. Now, we know from these stories that follow this that those first disciples just didn't grasp what he was saying. It was too big a leap from what they were expecting from a Messiah. They thought that he would be bringing glory and victory, but instead, it sounded like he was preparing them for suffering and maybe even death. And yes, they would have been very clear about his meaning in this, particularly when he said that they needed to take up their own crosses and follow him. It's helpful for us to remember a little bit of Galilean history at this point. It had only been 30 years since the Romans had crucified 2,000 insurrectionists from Galilee, that same area where they were. Those people had been seeking exactly what Jesus and his first followers were: freedom from Roman occupation and the oppression that came along with it. It's entirely possible that Jesus' own disciples may have known some of the people who had died in that horrible time. And the community's memory of those 2,000 crosses would have still been very fresh. I think that probably goes a long way towards explaining why they struggled to hear what he was saying. The memory of that failed insurrection that had ended in death for its leaders and for so many others, it would have made it very hard for them to be able to understand why Jesus was saying that he had to die. Wouldn't his death mean that their whole mission had been a failure? Was he trying to tell them it was going to fail? You can see why Peter rebuked him. It all sounded so very different from what they were hoping for. They were looking for freedom and life, and he was talking about death. No matter how many times Jesus tried to tell them, and he would try again on a couple more occasions, they just couldn't grasp it. And knowing that bit of Galilean history helps us to understand why. They couldn't fathom how death could possibly be part of God's good plan. And they don't even seem to have been able to hear him say that there would be more coming on the other side of his death. They never even acknowledge his promise to rise 3 days later. That incredible statement seems to get completely lost in the looming shadow of the cross. Well, of course, we read this and we can see the disciples' struggle, how far off base they were. But before we sit here, 2,000 years later, and judge them too harshly, it might be wise for us to pause to do a little bit of self-reflection. Yes, we do tend to accept, and on some level even understand, that Jesus did need to suffer and die. We even get that in some way beyond our ability to comprehend or adequately articulate. His death has set us free to find life once again. We have the benefit of living on this side of the cross and his resurrection, and so we're a little ahead of where Peter and the others were that day. However, we probably shouldn't get too full of ourselves, because that is often where our acceptance and our understanding begins to wear a bit thin. Yes, we do get that suffering was part of Jesus' path. But his suggestion that it might be part of our path and even more that he might somehow be able to bring life through our struggles and suffering? Well, I can't speak for you, but I know myself that sometimes I'm not any better at embracing or even just hearing that possibility than those first followers were. I know I want the life he promises, but I'd really like to avoid the part about having to take up my cross to find it. I can see and believe that his suffering on the cross brought new life for us all. But when I'm facing my own struggles, I usually just want them to end. In the midst of them, it can be really hard to believe and remember that God can also bring life through the crosses I'm called to bear. Well, one of the blessings of doing the work I do is that I get to hear your stories. And in those stories, I have heard over and over again how God does this in your lives. I've heard about times of trial that have ended up being some times of deep growth for you, times when your faith has grown really strong. I've heard how you've learned in these times to trust that God is with you, bringing life, sometimes in surprising new ways. I've seen growth in your characters as you've become wiser and more humble and patient. And I've seen how your faith in these times has impacted others, helping them to believe in God and in God's love for them and for our world. Those stories are powerful. Your witness is powerful. Today's passage reminds us that God has not promised that our way in this life will always be easy or without suffering. But it is also an incredible promise to us that we don't face these things alone. Remember, Jesus said, "Take up your cross and follow me." He has walked this way before us, and he walks it still with us. And in those stories of faith that I get to hear, it's clear that as counterintuitive as it seems, walking the way of the cross is actually the way not to death, but to life, to the full and abundant life Jesus promises us. Amen.
Good morning, everybody. Please pray with me. Lord God, we praise you. You are awesome. As we were reminded last week by Carol, we rejoice that you love to just have conversation and relationship with us. We have much to be thankful for. There's a hint of spring in the air. Daffodils and snowdrops are coming up. There are new bird calls in the trees around us, and from the places I'm looking, the grass even looks a little bit of a deeper shade of green. We give thanks this morning for the vaccines which are slowly making their way into our community and for the volunteers administering them. Bless those volunteers. Thank you for the renewed relationship and hope for greater cooperation between Canada and the newly elected administration in the USA. Bring forth fruit from the meetings of our Prime Minister and the President of the USA. Strengthen them in their work. We rejoice in the community which you sustain here at St. Stephen's and for the faithful work of our Pastor Diane, our Office Administrator Adele, and our Online Service Coordinator Fiona. And to all who serve at this church in so many ways, we give thanks. Today we pray for Canada and our community. Give wisdom, Lord, to our politicians and public health officers. Bless those who run businesses that struggle to stay open while protecting us and their staff. Continue to teach us the importance of patience and kindness, and encourage us to find ways to help those around us. Lord, we pray for all those who are sick or grieving today. Continue to open our hearts to the suffering and needs of others. Please mention those who are on your heart right now. In this community of Oceanside, a community of great riches, we pray with thanks for the solution for a shelter for those who are without home, food, and love. Bless the work of St. Anne's and St. Edmund's as they open up their church hall as a shelter. We pray for the elders of this church as they work to develop a budget for 2021. There is much, Lord, that is unknown about when and how we can gather as a congregation again, yet there is clear direction on the mission you have for us to be a Christ-centered community reaching out to our neighbors locally and nationally and internationally through the Mission and Service Fund. Show each of us how you would use our gifts and abilities now for the work of your kingdom. Please join me in saying the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
We thank you again for your faithful giving to the mission and work of this church. Let's pray together the prayer over the gifts. Extravagant God, you lavish us with love and acceptance and ask that we love and accept others. In offering these gifts, we express our commitment to your way. May they bring hope and peace to this congregation and to your world. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen.
Friends, set your minds on the ways of God, not clinging to your own life, but taking up your crosses and following Jesus. And may God give you a share in the eternal covenant. May Christ Jesus be proud of you when he comes in glory. And may the Holy Spirit make you grow strong in faith and lead you in the ways of righteousness. We go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Amen.
You are not alone if you are lonely. When you feel afraid, you're not. We're all the same. People say.